Just like a young man here a while back come to me, probably 30-something. He'd been married for a little while, divorced. And he come in and said, "Pastor, I got to have you pray over me." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Do I have to tell you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I caught a venereal disease." I said, "I guess you got that eating fruit, huh?" I said, "You had sex with some woman, didn't you?" "Well, yeah, I did." I said, "Don't you know that sin?" "Well, yeah, I know, but you know." I said, "No, I don't know." "No. You have the power within you to control yourself. You don't have to go out and have sex with some woman you're not married to." I said, "If you can't control your vessel, do what Paul said. Get married. Find you a wife." But I said, "Now you got a venereal disease." Do you know when you tell young women today, "Well, I slept around with my boyfriend and we had a baby or two before we got married." Do you tell them, "Do you know that if you were living, if you actually were under the law, if we were not under grace, do you know if you lived under the law and you had sex with a boy one time out of wedlock, the people of the community are to stone you till dead?" "Well, that's your opinion." "No, that's not my opinion. That's written in the book, isn't it?" You know, we wouldn't have many second offenders, would we? Yeah, that's something. But, you know, I think we need to go back to a little of this. You know this? Something, but now see what happens is, here's what they don't understand. Although we're not physically stoning them, the law is still there. And that's why so many of them die. You know, I'll give you an example of why people suffer what they suffer. You talk to somebody and you say, "You believe in Jesus?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." "You go to church?" "No." "You know the Lord told you to go to church?" "Well, that's your opinion." "No, it ain't my opinion." Hebrews 10:25, he said, "Forsake not the gathering yourself together on a regular basis, as our manner of some are, but be in church." Every Christian should be in church every Sunday. Every Sunday. And during the week they got Bible study, they should be there. That should be the direct desire of your heart, to be about God's work first. And everything else should be second and third and fourth. But God should be number one in your life. You should read His Word every day. You ought to drive down the road praising the King, worshiping Him. And if you do that, you won't be sick. But if you don't, I guarantee you're going to be sick. So, you tell people, well, when you find out, "Are you married?" "No." "Have you been married?" "Yes." "How long were you married?" 5 years, 10 years. "What happened?" "My husband committed adultery on me, and so I left him." I said, "Oh, your husband committed adultery." I said, "Did you and him have sex before you got married?" "Well, yes. You know, we lived together 2 years, had one baby before we got married, and then we got married." I said, "Oh, you professed to be a Christian at that time?" "Well, yeah." I said, "So you tell me you were a daughter of the King, and you were out having sleeping around with another boy? Well, what's wrong with that?" I said, "You broke Jesus' heart when you did that. He told you to keep yourself clean and pure. Did He not? So you went out and you had sex with some boy and you brought a baby in the world and you were married 5 years or 10 years. And then your husband, which you loved, now you got two or three or four other babies and you love your husband and he goes out and commits adultery on you and he breaks your heart." I said, "You know what caused him to do that?" "What?" I said, "God did that." "No way! God wouldn't have caused my husband to commit adultery on me." I said, "Oh, He wouldn't." I said, "Have you ever read the story about David?" "Yes." I said, "Do you know how David was obeying God completely and God gave him his master's house and his wives? And David had all these wonderful children and everything was going great? Until one night, David was up on top of the castle and he looked down and saw a woman that wasn't his wife. It was another man's wife. And he called her and had her come to his bedroom. And I'm sure this woman, when he called her, I'm sure when he told her to jump in that bed, we're going to have sex, I'm sure she said, "But King, I'm a married woman. I'm married to another man. But I'm the King. You obey me." And so what did she have to do? She obeyed him. Now, it wasn't her fault. It was the man's fault. Now, it says in the Word of God that God was very unhappy with David for this sin. I'm sure you've read this story. It's a pretty well-known story. Said the prophet Nathan came and told the story about the little ewe lamb and all the little things. When he got through telling the story about the rich man and he had all these lambs and sheep, and he said, and he killed the poor man's one little lamb. David jumped up and said, "Who is that man? I'll have his head." And the prophet stood up and pointed his finger and said, "You're the man." Uh-oh, David just pronounced his own death, hadn't he? Uh-oh, I'm going to kill the man. Well, you're the man. And the prophet said, "Now you're not going to die because God has put away or forgiven your sin." But he says, this is what's going to happen to you. Because of your sin, I'm going to bring a curse upon your children. Your children will die with a sword among each other. Your children will rape each other. Because of your sin. He says, your wives, what you done in secret with Bathsheba will be done openly. Your wives will be raped on the housetops and the street corners for everybody to see. I, the Lord, will make this come to pass. And the child that Bathsheba is going to bear, I, the Lord, am going to strike that child when it's born with sickness and the child's going to die. And you know that's written in God's Word? I, the Lord, struck this child, and this child's going to die because of your sin. And right after that story's over, and then it says, one of the boys fell madly in love with his stepsister Tamar. Oh, he just, all of a sudden, he's got this wild love in his heart, but she's a virgin. And then he goes to one of his cousins, and the cousin says, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm struck with love for my sister Tamar." He said, "Well, no problem." He's one of them little cunning guys, you know. He says, "Go to bed and make out like you're sick. And when Daddy David comes by and asks you what's wrong, say, 'I'm sick. Would you send Tamar by to make some cakes for me?'" And that way, so he did that. And so the king said, "Okay, no problem." He never dreamed anything bad would happen. So he sent her in with a bunch of other people, and she fixed these cakes and everything, started feeding him. He gets all upset and says, "No, I don't want them. Send everybody out." Everybody goes out but her. He said, "Now I want you to feed me." It's a dangerous thing for one boy and one girl to be in a bedroom together that's not married. So she started to feed him. She's a good sister. Stepsister. She's one of the other boys' sisters, but she's a stepsister because they all come from David. Yeah. And so here she's feeding her stepbrother. And he reaches up and grabs her and jerks her down into bed with him. And she begs him, "Please don't do this to me. I'm a virgin." Said, "Ask Daddy. He'll give me to you in marriage." He would not. He went ahead and drug her down into bed and raped her anyway. And then once he had raped her and turned her loose, he got up with a hatred in his heart. He hated his sister. Isn't it amazing how a few minutes ago he was madly in love with this girl, can't live without this girl, he's sick over her, and now all of a sudden he has sex with her, and he hates her. And she begs him not to do it. And he throws her away like a rag. What caused all that? Where'd all those signs, where'd all that come from? God. God was responsible for that. He'd already predicted that. Because of David's sin. And of course, Absalom, the brother of Tamar, he in his heart, he hated his other brother now for doing what he did to his sister. And he meditated for the next 2 years, "How I'm going to kill him." And 2 years later, he invited them all over to a party and he killed his brother. Who prophesied all this? God did. Why did it all happen? Because of David's stupid sin. And his wives, what happened to them? They all were raped, either out on the street corner or on a housetop, just like God said. Who was responsible for all that? God. Why did God move on all these people, make all these things happen? Because of one man's stupid sin. Isn't that something? This is well documented in the Word of God. You've studied the Word. I didn't say a thing that wasn't in the Word, did I, brother? It's in there. And I can show you where it's at. It's amazing. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, When he makes that statement in that work, in that statement in Job 4:8, I want you to see this. Wait a minute. Before we go to Job, let me finish this. Let me finish this right here. Let's go on down. Job 33, after this man's flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out, yea, his soul draws near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer, the devil. And let's see what happens in verse 23 and 24. If there be a messenger with him. Boy, this is important. Now, we need more of these messengers, don't we? If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Every one of us should be that messenger. Every one of us should be that clean, pure interpreter that can go to a hospital room and show these things to men. And then God says, if we will go, and if there be one, one among a thousand. Now, is that sad? It ought to be, for Christians, we ought to be one-on-one. Every one of us should be righteous and holy. Every one of us should be able to go into a hospital room and plead for a man's sin and get God to forgive them and stand in the gap for him. We ought to be that holy that we can get this done. It says if you can do that and you can show unto man his uprightness, then God is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Who is that ransom today? It's our King. Jesus. Where does he live? In you and me. Right here. We go in. We stand in the gap for this man. And we pray. And he says, I have found a ransom. And the ransom of Jesus. And you, Thurman, Tom, A.A., whoever, brought him in. And you remitted their sins. And you stood on my word. And you prayed. And you are righteous now. And you know you're righteous because Jesus made you righteous. So now then, I'm going to hear your prayer. And let's see what happens in verse 25 and 26. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Are we looking for that?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.